Welcome to another episode of Romance Romp. I'm your host, Keeney Allen. Today I have Melinda Valentine with me. She is an author of contemporary romance and romantic suspense. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So first, just tell me a little bit about like how you got into romance, like as a reader.
As a reader, I first started out with reading horror, everything I can get my hands on, and that kind of took me into the paranormal, and then I found paranormal romance. Okay. Once I found paranormal romance, that was it. I had to read everything I could get my hands on that was romance. Okay. And that brought me into the romantic suspense and mm-hmm. to the contemporary romance. And I fell in love with the genre, the feelings, the emotions, everything is so real. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't like a happily ever after?
I don't know. So how long have you been reading romance?
Reading romance, about 5 years.
Okay. So you're kind of newish.
I'm very newish.
in the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
Like, okay. I mean, that's good to know because, like, some people have been reading since they were, like, 12 or...
I've been writing since I was 12.
Okay.
But, like I said, I started out in horror. Mm-hmm. So... Stephen King, Dean Koontz, John Saul, those were it until about 5 years ago.
Yeah. And that seems to the thing about like the happily ever after, that seems to be the theme that us as readers and the authors that I've talked to, they really, that's what everybody kind of gravitates to. And whether it's like contemporary or paranormal or suspense, mm-hmm. it all comes back to that. So...
Exactly. Yeah. If you're going to lose yourself into something and invest that much time, you want that happily ever after.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no. You want to know that at the end you're going to have this gratification.
Right. Yeah. And I think that until I mean, I've been reading romance probably for about like pretty consistently for like 8 years. Prior to that, I was doing a lot of like reading women's fiction and just like general fiction and just kind of transitioned over. But once I really kind of got into it, and, you know, talk to other people. And I'm like, that is really what I'm looking for is, like, mm-hmm. the satisfaction at the end that these people are happy. Not necessarily. I think, like, in the old school romances, like, they were getting married right away and having babies. And, I mean, that's always fun, too. But it doesn't have to be that.
No, it doesn't. You have your happily ever after and you have your happily for now.
Right.
And
I'm good with either.
Exactly. You know, as long as you know at the end, right. they're together, they're happy in that moment, mm-hmm. that's what really matters.
Yep, just don't give me a cliffhanger. No. Unless you tell me in advance. I'm fine with a cliffhanger, but yeah, I need to know. Otherwise, I'm like throwing things. Like,
yeah. Yeah. You don't have that gratification, that satisfaction of knowing.
Right. Yeah. So being reading romance for like 5 years or so, how did you transition to writing romance?
I think when I've always written in a romantic element.
Okay.
And never realized that everything under romance can be packaged as a romance book. Mm-hmm. So whereas I was thinking I was writing this horror or this mystery, really I wasn't.
Okay.
I was writing a romance with a horror plot or mm-hmm. with a mystery element. And that's when I kind of realized I've been doing this all along. And mm-hmm. now I'm learning how the formula is and how to write in a way that really highlights that romance and mm-hmm. everything else is kind of background noise.
Okay. That's good. So as a writer, an author, when you read books, do you see it now from the other side?
Like, I do.
Okay. Does it ever get distracting?
No. Okay. I learn more.
Okay.
I've learned different techniques and different ways of building. You want to build that tension that, mm-hmm. you know, oh my goodness, will they just kiss already? And mm-hmm. you want to build that up. And before I didn't know how to do that. It was very point A, point B, point C, mm-hmm. and we're done. So I've gained a wealth of knowledge, and every book I read teaches me something else.
Oh, that's good.
And how to do things. Or I look at something and go, I like how they did that. That was really clever. Mm-hmm. Or how they foreshadow and you really gain a sense of their characters because of the way that they build them. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I never realized until I started writing.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like anything. When you look and really know how it's made, then you kind of see it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you know, the reader that I was 5 years ago is not the same reader that I am now, as far as like what I'm looking for, what I want.
We evolve.
Right, we evolve, you know. Yeah, yeah. Although, like, yesterday I was texting somebody. I finished my first historical romance, and I was like, I'm a lazy reader. I had to, like, look up a bunch of stuff, like, just because it takes place in a different time. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't really understand all these, like, wardrobe issues.
And I have such a great affection for those who write historicals. I cannot do it. That is the amount of work that goes into a historical romance, mm-hmm, is just unfathomable to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the language is different.
Mm-hmm. You can't walk in a room and turn on a light.
Right. Like, yeah.
You have to literally rebuild this whole world, mm-hmm, and make someone interested in reading about it. And there are people out there who do it, and they do it just, it's phenomenal.
Right. I know, and that's why I was like, well, I'm a lazy reader. I want to be able to, like, see the things, and that's why I read mostly contemporary, mm-hmm, because it just, I can see it. I don't have to really take myself to a different place.
It's familiar,
that's all, mm-hmm, so, but whatever. So you brought a book today with you.
I did.
So if you want to tell me a little bit about your book and then read an excerpt, I'd be happy about that.
Okay. This one is Best Man for the Job.
Okay.
It is the first in a series called The Men of Fear Incorporated.
Okay.
And it is about a woman who witnesses her boss being murdered by the Russian mob.
Okay.
And the best man in her cousin's wedding is a ex-cop who is now a PI who also has some bodyguard duties.
Okay.
So he decides that he is going to take it upon himself to keep an eye on her just because her boyfriend's not interested in doing it.
Okay.
Because he's too busy doing someone else.
Of course he is.
So in this scene, it's where Max kind of realizes that she's more than just a job to him.
Okay.
The night went by slowly for Max. Every time Sloan and Casper hit the dance floor, Max wanted to hit him. Charlie had asked him to dance several times, but he couldn't be bothered. In fact, he wished she would stop pawing all over him. He wasn't a touchy-feely in public kind of guy. Then again, he wasn't a touchy-feely kind of guy in private either. Sure, he had no problem touching a woman. He could work Charlie with ease. But he wasn't the kind of guy to cuddle with after or talk about feelings. Why the hell did he bring her here in the first place? Oh yeah, he wanted to get laid. What a joke. Talk about touchy-feely men. Now Casper had his hands just above the soft globes of her ass as the song ended. With each song, his hands dropped lower. One or two songs more and he would have Sloane's sweet ass in the palm of his grimy hands, literally. A slow pop song sang about love. It was the first slow song that they had danced to. Sloane put her head on Guttermouth's shoulder, eliminating any space between them. Max saw red. Oh, hell no. He wasn't going to sit here and watch this. Max was on his feet before common sense could stop him. He tapped Casper on the shoulder, and without a word, he stepped in, taking his place. Surprise washed over Sloane's features before she schooled her expression. What did she see when she looked at him? What did his eyes give away? Did she know what she did to him or how hard he fought against her pull? Her arms slipped around his neck, but inches still separated their bodies. He couldn't have that. He needed to erase Casper from her body. Max pulled her close enough that he knew she could feel his semi-erection press into her belly. He didn't care. In this moment, he wanted her to know. Her breasts practically flattened between their bodies, he held her so tightly. Like a lover's caress, his hand never stopped roaming, sliding down her back, up her side, swirling circles on her hip. Her arms were wrapped around his shoulders. One hand played with the hair on the nape of his neck. Their eyes locked together, unwavering. It was breathtaking. The song continued on as the rest of the room fell away. No one else existed. Sight, sound, smell. All of his senses were filled only with her. His hands threaded into her golden mane, pulling her head forward to meet his. Their bodies touched from forehead to chest and hips. He could taste her breath on his lips as they swayed together. The sweet smell of the margaritas she had been drinking beckoned him to take a taste. He was just about to give in and take that taste when suddenly Sloane pulled away, her eyes wide with wonder. Max instantly missed the feel of her. Cold seeped into his skin, all the while his blood burned for her. He wanted to grab her again and beg her not to let go this time. "Song's over," she whispered, like he cared. "Just like that, it's over." Max didn't know if he was making a statement or asking a question. Was he talking about the dance or the enchantment that they had been under, that he was still under? She opened her mouth, an answer on the tip of her tongue. Max held his breath, waiting for her reply. Whatever she said could make or break this thing he could feel between them. Meanwhile, the DJ was taking his sweet time announcing the next song, and Max wished she'd answer before the music drowned her out.
All right, thank you for reading that.
Of course.
Great. So, it sounds like you have a lot of love for writing and romance in general, and so it seemed like a natural fit for you. But so do you do this full time now? Do you still have like a career?
I do. I still work full time.
Okay.
I work for a bank.
Okay.
So I do that full time, and then I come home and I try to work on writing most nights.
Mm-hmm.
I also have 3 kids,
right,
and a brand new puppy.
Oh,
so
my goodness. Right.
It's crazy busy.
Yeah.
But I like it that way too.
Uh-huh.
I think I'd get bored if I was just sitting around doing nothing all the
sure.
time. So I am currently working on 2 more projects.
Okay.
And book 2 to the one that I just read from is out in May.
Okay.
And book 3 is currently in the works.
Okay.
So hopefully I will get these gentlemen out to you guys as soon as possible.
That's awesome. So how, because you had mentioned that you're like really new with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you go about like going from I have this story to trying to get it to people and finding a publisher? Are you traditionally published, indie published, self-published?
I am traditionally published.
Okay.
It's been a really surreal journey for me. I wrote a lot growing up,
mm-hmm.
And then I had children, I got married, I did that, you know, I focused all my attention on that for a long time, and then I would write here and there, I'd spurts, for a month I'd write like crazy, and then
mm-hmm.
I'd stop, and then I'd write like crazy, and then I'd stop. It was about 3 years ago where I learned about NaNO, National Novel Writers Month, which
right.
is November, and I said, you know what, I'm going to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I sat down and I feverishly wrote my first full story.
Mm-hmm.
I had never actually completed one. I always would end right before the ending and I'd be like, I'll finish it later. And I never did. And I think it was more of once I finished it,
mm-hmm.
I had to do something with it.
Sure.
So I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And I did. And I wrote my novel and I looked at it for a while, and I looked at it for a while, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it out. And that was actually the first book I had published.
Okay, that's awesome.
So that is part of an anthology through Soulmate called Cherish Secrets. So there are 3 books in that one, so they're short stories. But that was this past January.
Okay.
And then Best Man for the Job came out in June.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of been a whirlwind. It almost seemed like it happened overnight.
Yeah, I can imagine. And so the NaNO, I always see a lot about it because I follow a bunch of people on Twitter. And I've actually seen there's been, you know, a lot, I feel like, of writers, romance writers that say, like, I wrote this. It was my first book. I wrote it in November, pick
mm-hmm.
a year, you know, sent it out and it got picked up. And that's awesome. So
It really, I don't know if it's because you set that goal, okay,
mm-hmm.
I have 30 days, I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be grueling for those of us, especially I work a full-time job, so I have 2 or 3 hours a night
mm-hmm.
to try to bang out 1,700 words every night
mm-hmm.
if you're going to stay on deadline.
Right.
And there are some nights that you come home and you're just fried.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday and Sunday, you're like, I need 3,000 words today.
Right. Yeah.
But it's also a lot of fun because you're pushing yourself and you're going,
sure.
okay, let's see what I can do.
Right.
Let's see what I'm made of.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't make it every year,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they always say it's not about the end, it's about the journey.
Right. Sure.
And that makes me feel better.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, you know, and so, but it gives you something to work for, and it's great. So,
yeah, it does.
And then, so once, now that you have a book out, how do you go about, like, finding an audience, finding readers? Like, how do you do that?
Very slowly. I'm still trying to figure that out. Uh-huh. I do a lot of things on Facebook and Twitter, mm-hmm. and Instagram, and, you know, I'm all over the place and trying to reach out with people and do, like, the big mass Facebook hops, and mm-hmm. you start to find people that way, and any chance that I can get to go to shows and signings. I went to Vegas this year, and that was just amazing. Not only to meet fans of romance, but, you know, I fangirl myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of like a little schoolgirl when I'd see certain authors walk by. And so that was an absolutely phenomenal experience.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. What signing was it in Vegas? Or?
It was the big book fair.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's the one. It moves every year. So, one year it's in Dallas. This year it's in Atlanta.
Okay. Is that RT?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Romantic Times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I always see people doing that, and it always looks amazing and overwhelming at the exact same time.
And it is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. There's so much that you cram into, like, these 5 days, mm-hmm. And for me, it was even more so because it was my first trip to Vegas. It was my first event of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had one short story out when I went because Best Man had not yet come out. It came out the month after.
Mm-hmm.
So I was walking in completely unknown, and but it was fantastic. I have a couple of writers with the Maryland Romance Writers that I'm friends with, and, you know, we palled around and mm-hmm. got to know a bunch of our readers, and it was really a life-changing event. It was awesome.
I'm sure no matter what your thing is, whether it's like you're a romance reader or you're like a crafter or you're like into comic books, when you go somewhere where it's like all your kind.
Yeah. Your people.
Your,
you know?
People, your tribe. It's feels
great.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So now, like, what does your husband, your family think about, like, you being a writer? Specifically of romance. So
they support me 110%. My parents are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. My father leaves my business cards everywhere he goes.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's walking around Barnes & Noble, and he's leaving my business cards on the shelves. And I just laugh. I'm like, Dad, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my sister-in-law attacks them on every bulletin board that she sees. They are just phenomenal when it comes to that. My husband understands that, you know, just leave the bag of Raisinets and leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
I have work to do.
That's great.
Yeah. And my kids are the same way, you know. They understand that when I've got my laptop and I'm mm-hmm. I'm in that groove, please, please. Unless you're bearing food or beverages.
Yes, or somebody's bleeding.
Yes. If there's broken bones, okay. You can come to me.
Well, that's great.
But they're older, so they're self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to worry about it too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like to be fed every day, though. I don't.
I'm telling you.
And it's always when you're getting to that scene, that uh-huh. scene you're waiting for, where he finally takes her in his arms, and they're like, Mom, I'm hungry.
Yeah. I can imagine as an author how frustrating that is, because as a reader, my son is old and, you know, he's in college. So, you know, he comes home infrequently now. But, you know, I'm like living my life, reading, doing whatever. And he's like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Do not see I'm busy.
I'm
here.
Busy. I have my Kindle in my hand. I'm busy. Take care of yourself. But yeah, I can't imagine how people do it when they have younger children or multiple children that, you know, really need to be cared for.
Yeah. It's a juggling mm-hmm. act. It really is.
With anything, really. So.
Yeah. You know, you learn how to multitask really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see here. So you mentioned, like, you're on social media, you go to conferences. That's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's really the only way to, like,
it is.
Get out there.
And word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you, first and foremost, you write a book.
Mm-hmm.
To the best of your ability, you right. write a book, you get it out there, you pray that other people like it,
mm-hmm.
you know, you hope that it hits someone, it resonates,
right,
you know, whether it's the comedy in it or the feelings in it, or for me, because I write romantic suspense, you know, whether mm-hmm. or not it's the suspense that grabs them, but for me, it, regardless of which type of book, contemporary or romantic suspense, or I do dabble in the paranormal, mm-hmm. there might be something in the future from me.
Mm.
It is always about the romance. Mm-hmm. It's about that couple. It's yeah. about what their journey is from the beginning to the end and how that relationship changes them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I'm not a huge romantic suspense reader, but I enjoy it when it's done really, really well.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I struggle with sometimes, is that balance between, is this, like, so ridiculously over the top? Or is this, like, I mean, it is, I mean, it's a book. Of course, it's going to be a little out there. But, like, I read this romantic suspense one time where they were, like, stuck in the jungle. And it was just insane. And, I mean, that in and of itself wasn't bad. But then, like, you know, all these weird things were, like, popping up. Like, he just happened to have, like, all these things in his backpack that were just, like...
MacGyver.
Right. And it was just ridiculous. Like, I can't even believe this. Like, no part of this can I believe. And, but, I mean, other people do, so it's cool. It's not my thing, but...
My romantic suspense is more of a contemporary with suspenseful elements peppered in.
Mm-hmm.
So it does... go more toward the romance than it does the suspense. So that does not overwhelm the book.
That's good.
It is sort of sprinkled in. I have had readers say, you know, well, we didn't figure out what happened here, and not yet.
Right.
But it is the first book in a series, so you're going okay. to learn a little bit more in book two, and I will probably tie it all up in book three.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So, but they do, they are standalones.
Okay.
So for those who don't want to continue on the journey, they don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Each book follows a different couple.
Okay.
But they are all in it. So if you've fallen in love with a certain,
mm-hmm.
certain men of Fear Incorporated, you will see him later on.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And, this book is about this book is about Max, who, and he is the owner of Fear Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. So that brings up a question. So as a reader, I see that more and more, that books are part of, like, a series. Not necessarily that you have to, like, a serial where you have to read, like, one mm-hmm. and then it goes into two, but more and more they're part of, like, a series. Like, book one is one couple, but maybe in the periphery or secondary or, you know, tertiary characters,
mm-hmm.
but then they pick up in book two, but maybe you still see those first book, you know, people. And, you know, as an author, do you feel like you have to write like that, or can you write standalones, or like strictly only a standalone, no other people?
I don't feel like you have to,
mm-hmm.
But I do find for other readers and myself as a reader
mm-hmm.
that I enjoy that series
mm-hmm.
mentality, that knowing that I'm going to see one of the characters that I loved mm-hmm. that was, you know, a mm-hmm. secondary character get their shot, get mm-hmm. their day in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I still get to see that character that I fell in love with in the first book.
Sure.
And say, oh, look, they're still together.
Mm-hmm.
They still have that happily
oh, yeah.
ever after. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I do enjoy just a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I'm left after my standalone going, I wonder what happened to so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked him. Mm-hmm. He was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But either way,
yeah,
it's the story. I enjoy the story.
It is, yeah. I'm just curious from the author perspective, and but I do. I enjoy a serial. I think as a reader, not a serial, excuse me, a series. As a reader, I think it's because I feel comfortable with those people. Mm-hmm. I'm slightly invested in them. I want to see them all be happy.
It's like coming home to see your family at the holidays.
Yes, it is.
That's one of the best ways I can describe it. You haven't seen them in a while, and mm-hmm. there they all are, and you get to catch up, and it's wonderful.
Right, yeah. I don't know if you read Kristen Ashley at all.
I have heard of her, but I have not read her.
Okay. I was trying to explain to my sister, to her the other day. She started one. She was like, I can't read it. I'm like, you're probably going to hate them all, but I need you to at least read one. But I was saying that was the one really nice thing about Kristen Ashley's books is they're all kind of interconnected. Mm-hmm. And so you'll see people from one series and another. And it does. It just feels good. Like, oh, I remember him. Mm-hmm. Like,
exactly.
Whether or not even it's about him, the main story is another thing. But anyway. So, do you use a pen name?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I publish under just my maiden name.
Okay.
So, technically it is my real name. Mm-hmm. It's just not all of it.
It's not all of it. Okay. I'm always just curious about this. Why did you opt to do something slightly different than your name that you use every day?
My last name is hyphenated, okay. So it's really long. Mm-hmm. And to put that long of a name on the cover of a book just seemed like too much. And what better name for a romance than Valentine?
Right. You can't go wrong with that.
It was kind of like it was just meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So one of the things that I think that we all kind of as readers and writers of romance specifically kind of have a theme going or has happened to all of us is like this shame moment where somebody has or we felt shame for reading romance or writing it. So I'm wondering if you have one.
I don't think I have an actual moment because I don't get ashamed
okay.
by that. You know, that's mm-hmm. what I love. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why anyone would feel ashamed of that. But there is that stigma
mm-hmm.
On romance that everybody thinks it's your grandmother's romance where, you know, it's ripped bodice type of,
right.
you know, corny
Rapey.
Dialect.
Yeah.
And, you know, they walk into a room and they immediately are just head over heels in mm-hmm. love, and that it's not like that anymore.
No, it's not
your grandma. It's not Fabio on the cover of a book anymore.
It's not, and I think that's the biggest thing of it. Like as a reader, I kind of for a long time I don't anymore. I'm not in any way, shape, or form ashamed of reading romance. Like, and if you ask me, I'll tell you what I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 years ago when I was kind of new to it, I was a little. I don't know, just hesitant because it gets a very bad rap.
It does.
Not just the genre itself, but I think that people have this misconception of who's reading it, who's writing it, why, and just everything. And so now I'm like, I like come prepared, like with my facts. I'm like ready for you.
Mine, the biggest thing I think is everyone thinks I write 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they hear romance, oh, is it like 50 Shades of Grey? No, it's
right.
not. Yeah. There are so many different types of romance.
Uh-huh.
And for those who don't read it, I understand that they know whatever it is big and has hit the shelves mm-hmm. with, a roar.
Right.
But that's probably my biggest thing that I have to tell everyone.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not 50 Shades. It's different.
It's different.
Every book is different.
Right.
But it is funny to, especially if a man asks you,
mm-hmm.
oh, you write books? What do you write? And you say romance.
Mm-hmm.
Their eyes kind of bug out of their head a little mm-hmm. bit. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Some of my guy friends are like, yeah, I read romance a lot. I like review for some sites and stuff. And they're like, oh, you read that trash. I'm like, it's not trash. I love it. I've now just moved you down as lesser of a friend for judging me. But I'm like, it's just, it's no different than men who play like video people. I shouldn't just say men, but anyone that spends time doing insert thing, video games,
mm-hmm.
sport, whatever, comics.
It's a passion.
Yeah, it is.
And once you have a passion for that, it almost is overwhelming.
Yes.
I know when I do sit down to read, I devour mm-hmm. whatever I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't get as much time to read now as I did before.
Oh,
so
I'm sure.
My to-be-read pile just keeps getting longer mm-hmm. and longer and longer. And the more that I meet these amazing writers that I'm friends with and through my publishing company or through people that I meet at these events, I don't think I'm ever going to get through them all.
I you know, like 5 years ago, I didn't even know what like a to be read pile was. And I was just like, oh, you know, I read like on demand. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it worked that way. Now, like, I can't even like open up my Kindle without getting anxiety.
What am I going to read first?
Like, and because I do review books for a site, so sometimes I have to make a list for myself and like say, okay, I need to read this by X date because I have to get the review in. Mm-hmm. And but then there's just so many books and they all are so good, it feels like, or they have the potential to be so good.
Yes, they do.
And new authors and authors that I love. And that's another reason why I don't really like cross genres a whole lot, because I'm like, if I can't take on anymore, I cannot take on any more authors and any more books. And it's just amazing. But I love it and I haven't stopped. So, but yeah, the TBR, I tell you.
It's a beast.
It is.
It is a monster that we all try to tame. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any luck in my near future.
You know, and then if a book goes on sale or it's free, then it's like, I'm going to get this and I'm going to read it. I don't know when. I'm always like, maybe if I'm stuck on an island someday with my Kindle.
Someday when my kids are grown and out of the house and I don't have to stop to make them dinner every night.
Right.
Then I'll get through it.
Yeah. It's so hard. The reader struggle is very real.
Yes, it is.
It's very real. So do you have a favorite author?
Oh, that's like asking me to pick my favorite child. It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. I will say that two authors that probably really sucked me into the romance genre, mm-hmm. Would be Laura Kay.
Okay.
She's absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. She was really a big influence on how to write.
Okay.
Like how it's done, mm-hmm. how to make that story suck you in and really be like, I need these two to be happy. I mm-hmm. need them to be together. And she does an absolute phenomenal job. Hearts in Darkness mm-hmm. was it for me.
I think I've read one or two in that series. I can't remember.
It was the way she described things, mm-hmm. you felt like you were there. Mm-hmm. The other is Liliana Hart.
Okay. I've heard of her. I may have read a book way back when, but yeah.
Yeah, her writing is phenomenal. She writes multiple series that mm-hmm. I have to get the moment they come out. And those probably were the two that really influenced me. Mm-hmm. So if I had to pick a favorite, those would be it.
Okay. So either of the – well, you mentioned the Heart of Darkness mm-hmm. series by Laura Kay. And I think I saw her in September at the Baltimore Book Festival. She was on a couple panels. And yes. I think she seems lovely. She was talking about writing – maybe the newest one in that is like a male-male series. Or male-male book? I can't remember.
That is in the Hard Ink series.
Hard Ink. Oh, yes. Okay.
And she does have one that's MM.
Okay.
And it's fantastically done.
Yeah.
It's probably, I think it was the first MM that I've read.
Oh, really?
It is not. It has not been the last, but it was the first. Uh-huh. And the way that she did it was really wonderful.
Yeah.
And that whole series is just phenomenal.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah, the MM, it took me a long time to like, I'm like, I'm not gonna read that. It's just like, just again, do I really want to take this on? Am I really gonna like it?
Well, and I think with hers, because it was further along in the series, mm-hmm. you've already grown to know these characters, you've learned to love these characters, mm-hmm. so when it came down to that, you almost cheered,
right?
You're like, oh my goodness, that's so awesome. Yeah. You know, you wanted to cheer for them. And mm-hmm. I think that is what really made me enjoy it the way that I did. Mm-hmm. Because you were already invested in them.
Right. And that's what I try to tell myself, like, as a reader. Like, I want to try to read more, like, male-male. Even want to try to, you know, factor in, like, some female-female. Because really at the heart of it, it's really just the love story.
It really is.
And it really doesn't matter if it's two men or two women or, like, two men and a woman or whatever. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, more than two isn't really my thing, but I'll try it every now and again. Like, but I really have to, like, trust the author.
When you start getting into more than that, I think you're starting to leave the romance and you're getting more into the erotic.
I agree. And so I stay pretty firmly in romance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will read some erotica or border, but they also tend not to always have the happy ever afters.
No.
A lot of happy for now.
Mm-hmm. Or, and not even.
Right. Or just like, it's just kind of over. Megan Hart, I'm talking about you. But, so yeah, but I get it. Everybody has their thing. They like
that's
their
right.
thing.
Birds of a feather.
Exactly.
You know?
So
we've all got that one thing that revs our engine.
Yeah. So are there any books, other than your book coming out in 2017, are there any books that you're really looking forward to in 2017?
Anything that Aurora Rose writes.
Okay.
Aurora Rose Reynolds for her Until series. Fantastic.
Okay.
If you have not read that series.
I haven't.
You need to. Like, she has the series.
Uh-huh.
And then she has a sub-series that focuses on, like, their children.
Okay.
It and has, as they're coming into their love interests.
Interesting. Okay.
And there's this hashtag boom. And when you read it, you know what that is. And it's, her characters are so lively. Mm-hmm. They come to life on the page. And anything that she writes, like, her one book just came out. I already bought it. I have not had time to sit down and read it yet, and my fingers are itching. But I set myself a goal. I have to get so far in my manuscript before
sure.
I'm allowed to sit down and reward myself mm-hmm. to read. I haven't hit that yet.
Mm.
So
soon. You'll get
yes,
there.
Her book is just going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
With the holidays, I tend to slow down.
Sure.
There's so much family and, you know, mm-hmm. everyone wants attention. And
mm-hmm.
So, but that will be soon, very soon. But I definitely recommend that series.
I'll have to look into it. I wrote it down. So for yourself, like as an author, do you have any big conferences or signings or show like for next
year? I do have the Kiss and Tell signing. Mm. That's in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be doing that in July.
Mm.
I don't have anything else planned at this moment. I am thinking about maybe making a trip back to my hometown and maybe do a signing in there. I'm originally from Dunkirk, New York.
Okay.
So, little tiny town right on Lake Erie.
Mm.
So, my brothers have been trying to get me to come up there and do one.
That's
so
cool.
I may pop up there unexpectedly.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, like, I think as from the reader perspective, like, especially if we don't live in, like, these major metropolises, you know, like, I mean, I'd love to go to, like, Vegas or Atlanta, mm-hmm. but the likelihood of me actually doing it is slim to none. So when readers are closer at, you know, smaller events,
yes.
I love it. Baltimore Book Festival is fantastic.
It's amazing. I've done that 2 years now, mm-hmm. and I love it, the experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people there that you mm-hmm. can talk to that you normally wouldn't meet anywhere else. It's mm-hmm. it's really a lot of fun.
Yeah, and, you know, as a reader, it's a lot of, like, fangirling and being like, I can't believe, like, I read your books and I follow you on Twitter.
I do that as a writer.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not? And I think that we, like, we live in this area that I'm just shocked at how many writers are local-ish. And, you know,
there really are.
Yeah. Like, once I really start looking, I'm like, I can't believe she's from here or around here or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of awesome. So now, other than being an author and writer and that consuming a lot of time, do you have any other, like, sort of hobbies that you're really into?
Not really.
That's okay. There is nothing wrong with that.
It consumes so much time.
I'm sure.
You know, and I've got my kids, so my oldest is a vocalist, so we spend a lot of time
mm-hmm.
taking her back and forth to practice and
mm-hmm.
all that good stuff. And she's graduating this year. And
oh,
I'm
wow.
not ready.
Yeah.
But it's pretty consuming.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really had a chance to do any other hobbies.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I mean, sometimes I was telling somebody else, sometimes I see these authors that I know have families and I don't know if they work other jobs, you know, but they're like writing and they're on Twitter all day and then they're like showing pictures of their crafts that they're doing. And I'm like, do these ladies get like 3 hours of sleep of night? Like, that's the only way all this is possible.
Yeah. There are not enough hours in the day.
Yeah. And I mean, so much respect for them. And I'm like, I'm just a reader. I just like to enjoy.
Yeah. From that, I mean, there are little things that I dabble in. I like to bake. I do that a lot. Mm-hmm. I used to sing a lot. Mm. I used to go to karaoke like every other week. It was insane. Yeah. But now there's so much to do. I don't think people realize what it takes to put a book out. You have however long it took you to write, which mm-hmm. there is no formula.
Right.
You can write a book in 30 days. It could take you 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's how much you put into it. It's how quickly you write or mm-hmm. how slow you write or just how much time you have. Mm-hmm. And then once that's done, I almost feel like that's the easy part. Because when it comes to finding a publisher, or if you're self-publishing, then you have all of the work of finding the right cover, mm-hmm. finding someone to design it, or doing it yourself, which is even harder. Mm-hmm. Then you have, if you're going traditional, you have to find a publisher. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to do an agent, which I did not do. So I spent hours upon days upon weeks researching every publishing company that I thought mm-hmm. my book would be a good fit for. Mm-hmm. And I am with two different companies, and they're both wonderful. But it is a lot of work. And then once you get that coveted contract and you sign and you're like, I did it. Mm-hmm. Then the real work begins.
Right.
Because you have to try to market it, and you have to try to find an audience for it.
Right.
And it is never ending. And it's doing contests, and it's going to shows, and it really is a lot harder than one would imagine.
I mean, I can't even imagine. And like, again, like from the reader perspective, like I don't get it. I just feel like these books show up and it's like magic, you know, like somebody wrote them and then I get to read them and like that's the end of the story. But I know that realistically there's so much work in between there. And an author friend that I made friends with like on Twitter, she sent me a book a couple weeks ago that I absolutely adored, and she's like, I'm still trying to market it to publishers or trying to get it out there to see if anybody will publish it. She's like, I'm giving it until June, and if it doesn't get picked up, then I'll publish it myself. And I'm like, June? But like that seems so long. But then I guess if I take a step back, like mm-hmm. realistically, like it could take that long to not only submit it to publishers, but once they finally get around to reading it and deciding. And I can't even imagine how much, like, how giving of yourself as an author you have to be for that, because, you know, you have this baby and you want everybody to look at your baby and say how beautiful it is.
Exactly.
And yeah, they've like put it on, but you're like, but my baby's wonderful. Please look at it. And you're just waiting and waiting for, I mean, it could, sometimes it goes faster. So
sometimes
I don't know.
It does.
So,
usually it takes about 3 months to hear back from someone. Mm-hmm. And usually the longer it takes, sometimes the better, because that means that they're really reading it. Mm-hmm. They didn't get through the first three chapters and decide, okay, this isn't right for us. Mm-hmm. And it's very subjective. So mm-hmm. what's not right for someone else could be exactly what another publisher is looking mm-hmm. for. And so it does vary. I was extremely surprised with Best Man. I got a contract for that in less than a month.
That's awesome.
So it was one of those things, like, someone pinched me, because mm-hmm. it's only been a month, and when I first got the email, I was like, oh, mm-hmm. it's going to be another rejection. Mm-hmm. And you have to learn to just kind of roll with it, because you're going to get them, and you're going to get a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So it is about learning to kind of get a thick skin. And because that's gonna carry you through.
Sure.
not only through the publishing part of it and finding a publisher and getting published, but afterwards, because not everyone is going to like your book.
Right.
That's, and sometimes, you know, you probably should stay away from reading reviews online. I have learned to take everything with a grain of salt. So I am still one of those people who read my reviews. There are some authors who absolutely will not do it. There are some that every now and again they'll check it out. I still read everyone.
I have an author friend who had her husband block Goodreads from their home computer because she was, I think, being tempted to read them. And because it's just so, I mean, how could you not? Like, you put, again, like, you put this thing out there. And I think we as a society, we've gotten to this level where we put things out there. I mean, look at, like, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. You put things out there. People like it. It feels good. Let's not lie to ourselves. And so, again, you're putting something else out there. And
you're waiting to see.
You're waiting for people to like it or do whatever.
Like it and comment on it and just tell you what they think about it. And the first one that I got that was not a glowing review, I was like, okay. I get it. You know, it wasn't horrible. So I think I have not had a review yet that has been horrible. I have had ones where people did not care for certain parts. And that's okay because everyone has their opinion. There are books that I know that I've read that I was like, meh, yeah, okay. And there are ones that I couldn't say enough good things about. But when you look at your bestsellers, there are people who love them, there are people who hate them,
right?
So, you know, it's all subjective, and until it get that really scathing one, I think I'm gonna continue to peek under the curtain. So
yeah, I mean, like, from the, as a reviewer doing that, I always say the meh books, they're the worst to write about, to like tell other people, like, because it's just like meh, nothing good, nothing bad, it was fine. You know, but I get excited to write the books like where I think it's like really, really good, or the few books that I really, really did not care for. But I always try to be very respectful and, you know, say like, these are the things that I didn't like.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you won't like them. These were just the things, you know, and there was one book that I really did not like. And, but I said, you know, part of this I feel like is because of my personal experiences with XYZ. Like, and I can admit that, like, I had something that happened to me that I didn't like. It happened in here. It made me not like this.
Yeah, because you start putting in your own experiences.
Right.
So it's very easy. The point is to lose yourself into that book and to be that character, to put yourself in their position. So if it's something that has happened to you or you would not want to happen to you, sometimes that really can turn you off to a book, not because the writing is bad or the storyline is bad, but because it really isn't your thing.
Yeah, it always amazes me sometimes, though, like when people will read a review or write a review and it's like on a romance book and they'll be like, there was too much sex in this. It's like,
oh. You're reading romance.
You picked the wrong book. Like,
and there are different types of romance. You do have sweet romance where it is completely closed door.
Right.
You don't see anything. You have them going into the room and you have them coming back out again. I do not write those kind of books for anyone out there wondering. Everything is open door. You see everything. You can take pictures if you'd like. It's okay.
That's my favorite type of book. So,
but there are those times. And you can kind of tell by reading the back of the book.
Right.
There are certain words that are used. If they're describing someone as sweet and shy, then you're probably going to get more of that sweet romance.
Right.
If they're describing someone as the sexy bartender, you are probably not.
I know.
So there are different keywords that you want to watch for. If you read the back and it sounds kind of sexy, it is. The doors are open. You're going to see it all.
Right.
Bring your popcorn. It's going to be a rough ride.
I can't remember who I was talking to, somebody on the podcast, but I was saying, you know, and I'll probably have to do like a whole show about this, but like the covers also are so very telling. And so that whole you know, don't judge a book by its cover.
Actually, yes, you do.
It's very true. I think especially in romance, like, you know, if I see a cover that has like a lot of pink and maybe they're like on the beach, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm not sure that's going to be for me. I don't even have to read the blurb.
Yeah.
But if it looks a little darker, or like yours where they're like, you know, he's not wearing a shirt, she looks like maybe she's in like a bra or just like a small top, there's a lot of skin, I'm like, let me read that blurb. Let me see what that's about.
There's going to be some interesting scenes in a book like that.
Right. And that's what I'm here for.
And that's what I like to read, so that's what I write. Mm-hmm. You know, you write what you love.
Mm-hmm.
There is a saying that says, write the book that you want to read. And that's what I do. I write for myself, first mm-hmm. and foremost. If other people like it, that's awesome.
That is,
you know, and I love to do it. It's eventually, hopefully, will be my full-time job, and I don't have to.
I hope that for you. So
do the daily grind anymore. Yes, and because it is so satisfying to sit down mm-hmm. with your blank page in your chapter one. And I'm a pantser. Okay. So I don't plot. I don't outline. I don't do anything. Uh-huh. I sit down and usually it's a character that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll just kind of nag, and he'll nag. And for some reason, most of the time, it's the men that talk to me.
That's very interesting.
And I'm okay with that.
I mean.
And one will nag and nag and mm-hmm. nag. And I'll just be like, okay, well, let's see what you got to say. Mm-hmm. And I'll sit down, and I just start writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then where it goes from there, then I can kind of say, all right, well, what kind of woman would he
mm-hmm.
not be interested in? Because that's how I'm going to give him.
That's awesome.
So, you know, and to just see things unfold and mm-hmm. and when you type the end, it's so satisfying.
Oh, I'm sure. I sometimes knit. I'm like a 5-year beginner knitter. And when I finish a project, I'm like, I did this. I like want to run around the house.
Show
and, like,
everyone. Yes, like, look run at this outside.
Thing. Yes.
Neighbors, look at what I did. Yes. You know?
And they're like, whatever, you crazy lady. But no, so I get that, like anything that you've made and then, you know, but for, as you said, like as an author, that's when it really just begins because mm-hmm. then it's like, well, now you got to get it to the people.
Now I have a book. What do I do with it?
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so I hope that sooner rather than later, you get to do that full time thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It'd be awesome for you. So I think that's really about all I had today. Thank you so much for coming in and chatting with me.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Well, thanks.